Please rise as you are able for the reading of the Gospel. The reading for this evening is taken from the Gospel according to John, from the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 17, and 31b through 38. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that his Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Matthew, Mark, and Luke set the stage for the story that we've just heard. Listen to what Luke has to say. "Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare the Passover meal for us, that we may eat it.' They asked him, 'Where do you want us to make preparations for it?' He said to them, 'When you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks you, where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, already furnished. Make preparations for us there." What you're looking at on the screen is what is believed to be that very room. Less than a month ago, a number of members of Glenmar, several of whom are here tonight, and I had the opportunity to be in the room where Jesus and his disciples gathered to celebrate the Passover. As they gathered there, according to what John has to say, Jesus knew certain things. Jesus knew, according to John, that his hour had come. Jesus knew the Father had given him all things. Jesus knew he had come from God and that he was going to God. All of these things that Jesus knew would seem to have set the stage for Jesus to act in a dramatic, dazzling way so as to leave a lasting impression in the minds of his disciples as he gathered with them for what would be the last time. We can only speculate what they might have been thinking. Would he once again be transformed, his appearance taking on a dazzling white? Would a voice from heaven come again proclaiming, "This is my beloved Son"? Would he perform another astonishing miracle in their midst? Would he command his disciples to pledge their undying allegiance to his power and authority? Or would he have them simply bow before him in humble adoration? Any of those we could have understood and the disciples might have expected. But in reality, Jesus did none of those things. And what actually happened next must have blown the disciples' minds. And as we hear and read about them again, they blow our minds too. Let's read again from John verses 3 through 5. "Knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, Jesus got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel." What kind of God, knowing what he did with all the power and authority of the Creator of the universe available to him, would kneel and wash feet at this most critical time in his earthly existence? What kind of God would do that? Only a God who had come to do precisely that. A God like the one described by Paul in the second chapter of Philippians, who, according to Paul, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. But what becomes evident to us as we hear this story again is that this is not a departure from God's plan. This is not God's plan B. This is not a good thing gone bad. This is God's plan from the beginning. And so Jesus' sacrificial death was a revelation of God's plan and a fulfillment of God's plan, as was the washing of his disciples' feet. There are few things more menial than washing feet. It is a task that requires us getting up close and personal. It involves touching one of the least presentable, most smelly parts of the human body. What kind of God would stoop to such a menial chore? Only the kind of God who is not put off by the filth and stench of sin. Only the kind of God who can stand in the presence of the worst aspects of humanity and not turn away. Only a God who is willing to touch every part of our existence, not just those parts we have cleaned up and made presentable. Some of you may have seen the movie portraying the life of Gandhi. And in one of the most poignant and moving lines in the movie, Gandhi says, in response to those who criticize his actions, "There are no untouchables here." There were no untouchables in the upper room. There are no untouchables here either. No untouchable persons, no untouchable part of any individual for the kind of God who would wash dirty, smelly feet. There is an aspect of this story that we sometimes overlook. What we are told is that after the supper and after the communion that Jesus shared with his disciples, Jesus went out into a garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. This is the Garden of Gethsemane, where some of us had the opportunity and the privilege to walk just a few short weeks ago. What we're told is that in the garden Jesus prayed, that some of the disciples fell asleep instead of praying with him. But what we're also told is that in this garden, one of the 12, Judas Iscariot, came leading a band of soldiers and betrayed Jesus. What we sometimes forget, something we often overlook, is that there is no indication that Jesus skipped Judas when he was washing the disciples' feet. In fact, we know that Judas was still present at that time because, as Eric read, he quite rightly omitted the first phrase of verse 31, which says, "After he went out, Jesus said." The he who went out was Judas. And where Judas went was to betray Jesus. And all that happened after Jesus had knelt, taken a towel and a basin, and washed the feet of the 12. What kind of God would wash the feet of the one who would betray him? Only the kind of God who would die for the worst in humanity. As Paul reminds us, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What kind of God would kneel at the feet of the one who would betray him to a painful death? Only the kind of God who would say, "Father, forgive." In fact, it would seem that Jesus washing his disciples' feet foreshadowed his death. And Peter, who at first seemed clueless, finally appears to get it when he says, "Well, wash all of me then. Wash all of me." Because Peter acknowledged in that statement our need for the cleansing from our sin that God provides in the sacrificial death of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, our communion ritual once said, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We are washed in the blood of the Passover lamb. You see, Jesus doesn't simply eat the Passover. Jesus is the Passover lamb. Jesus is the one whose sacrifice takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is the one who dies so that death passes over us. which perhaps is what leads Jesus to say the astonishing words that he says in verse 31 of John chapter 13. Just after Judas has gone out to betray him, when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified." Now the Son of Man has been glorified. After Judas has gone on his mission of betrayal, now after washing smelly feet, after the die has been cast leading to the inevitable painful death awaiting him, now has the Son of Man been glorified. Not on the mountaintop, not with the adoring crowds begging for more, but after Judas has gone out to betray him to a painful, humiliating death. What kind of God is glorified in betrayal and suffering and death? Only the kind of God whose nature and whose name is love. Only the kind of God who is a good shepherd, the bread of life, the Passover lamb. Only the Lord our God. Only a God who would wash feet in humble submission. And then, having demonstrated the nature of this love, Jesus tells his followers to go and do likewise. He says, "A new commandment I give you, that you should love one another just as I have loved you." Something else we often don't realize is that's the verse that gives the name to this night. Maundy Thursday is not a night to remember the Last Supper. It's not a night to remember the washing of feet. It's a night to remember the mandate, mandate, the Latin word which has come to give this night its name, Maundy. A new commandment, a mandate I give to you, just as I have loved you, so you should love one another. Just as I have washed your feet, so you should wash others' feet. Just as I have done this to the least, including the one who will betray me to death, so should you. Actually, two commandments that Jesus gave his disciples on this last night, and two commandments that come to us. Eat this bread. Drink this wine. Do this in remembrance of me. Wash smelly feet. Clean bathrooms, touch untouchables, love one another as I have loved you. Do this in remembrance of me. Amen.